If you've been a victim of identity theft, you know how demoralizing that can be. But what if you're a victim of spiritual identity theft? That's coming up next, right here on The Parker J. Cole Show. Welcome to another edition of the Parker J. Cole Show. I'm so excited that you're here with me today. We're going to be talking about something that affects all of us in the spiritual realm, and we're talking about spiritual identity theft. Most of us know what identity theft is because we've either been a victim of identity theft, or we know someone who has, or we've read these horrible stories about people who have been affected by other people who have taken away their identity, things of that nature. But today we're going to put it into the context of spiritual for us. In 2018, according to the FTC, there are 444,000 cases of reported identity theft. And then in 2019, that number rose to 650,000. And in 2020, that number went up to 1.3 million. And so it looks like this trend of identity theft is going to continue unless we take certain measures to ensure that our data and our identity is safe. We all know about how that affects us in the natural world we have here, but what does spiritual identity do for us in the spiritual realm? How does it affect our souls? Is there, quote unquote, a life lock that can protect us from spiritual identity theft? These and many other provocative questions we're going to be talking about with my guest co-host and contributor today, Tracy Moore. We'll be talking to her in just a few moments. Want to definitely thank our supporter, Christian Book Club, for their support. If you want to find out how they can help you build your readership, go to christianbookclub.net. Also, if you are an author and you want to get your books uploaded to Readio, simply go to readioapp.com. I've been talking about it for a while, but Readio app is an app solely dedicated to uploading Christian books of fiction and nonfiction that are dedicated to the Most High God. And so it's going to help you put your book in a system that is not completely Amazon driven or Amazon regulated. Because you know, sometimes when you put your books on Amazon, you get these weird suggestions. Let's say yours is a Christian book and then you get like an erotica book or something like that. So Readio app is going to be an app solely dedicated to Christian fiction and nonfiction. To know more about that, go to readioapp.com and find out how you as the author can upload your book onto the catalog. And we'll be telling you more when that app goes live. If you want to weigh in, you know you can. All you got to do is call in at 646-668-8485. Press 1 to be live on air. Hit me on Twitter at Parker J. Cole, hashtag PJC Show, with your questions or comments. We'll be right back after these messages. We'll be right back after these messages. Stay tuned.
Listen to Spurgeon's Morning and Evening Devotionals podcast. Organized by month, this devotional has a morning and evening meditation for every day of the year. Find us at anchor.fm/Russell-Sherard. That's anchor.fm/Russell-Sherard. Also on the Edify app. Navigate to player.edifi.app, create an account or log in, search for Spurgeon's Morning and Evening Devotionals podcast, click on the link to listen, then subscribe so you don't miss a single episode.
I feel so hopeless.
Is there any hope? I just feel like there's no hope at all.
Is there any hope?
Get hope.
Thank you.
Winston Churchill and my dad are my personal heroes.
That's TWR President Loren Libby.
Now, they knew how to boost the morale and confidence of people under fire. Churchill exuded hope, and it was infectious among those he touched. Hope is a pervasive theme in the Bible. In fact, the word is used 175 times. Now, why is hope so important? The Bible says, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. Hope gives endurance in the face of adversity. My father never lost hope. He always saw the sun over another hill of adversity. Lost hope in your family, business, relationships? Ask Jesus to speak to you. Then begin to feel the power of hope in your life.
Need more hope? We have resources waiting for you, including a free devotional. You'll find them at GetHopeRadio.com. That's GetHopeRadio.com.
We're back, and you're listening to the Parker J. Cole Show. Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to the Parker J. Cole Show on WPJC 104.5. And so very glad you are here with me today. I talked about it in the introduction. We're going to be discussing spiritual identity theft. And as I gave you statistics, we really do understand what identity theft is. We understand how it affects us as people, how it affects our view of the world around us. But spiritual identity theft, I believe, goes a lot deeper because no one is exhumed or doesn't get affected by spiritual identity theft. And so we're going to talk about this and more with my guest co-host and contributor today, Tracy Moore. So I'm going to go ahead and present her to you. Tracy, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Parker. Thank you so much for having me on the show. We appreciate it. How are you?
I'm doing great, and I want to thank you for taking time out of your schedule to be with us on this show. I've never, ever take it lightly because you can be doing so many other things, and you're doing this for me and for our listeners. So really appreciate you having me on the show. I mean, having on my show, rather. And I like the fact that we're talking about something that people are really familiar with. Even if they've never been a victim of identity theft, they automatically go, I don't want that to happen to me. I don't want to be the one to have to go through years and years of trying to get my papers back in order, my Social Security number back, all these things that happen through identity theft. So we understand it as a principle. But what I really liked when I saw your blog, I really liked the fact you talked about spiritual identity theft. And that is what led me to invite you onto the show because I couldn't help but say, you know what? Other people need to hear information. They need to hear the wisdom and nuggets that you were giving on your blog to other people. Plus, you also have a few books out there as well. So we're going to talk about all of that on the show today and give people an opportunity to know more about you. And that's usually my first question, is go ahead, tell us a little bit about yourself.
All right, and it's my pleasure to be with you today. My name is Tracy Lynn Moore. I'm a poet, author, and speaker. They call me the Purposeful Poet, and my purpose is to encourage, uplift, and inspire others to be their best for Christ. I have a degree from Oral Roberts University in Christian Counseling, and I always say I know anointing is what breaks yokes, not degrees, but I'm thankful to God he allowed me to get the education. I have a varied vocational background. It really makes me dizzy to think about all the things that I've been in. I started out as an industrial engineer, went to the social work field after I got the counseling degree and worked in the home with the homeless population for a while. I ended up going into teaching. I taught math at high school for a short period of time. And then I went into financial counseling where I stayed there for about a decade, where I loved that work. And now, you know, God has directed me out to work full-time for the kingdom, which I really love and appreciate. And right now I'm an associate minister at Chesapeake Christian Center in Chesapeake, Virginia. I have my own ministry with poetry, writing, and speaking that God has given me, so I thank God for that. And also I'm a prayer counselor for the 700 Club, which is one of the most inspiring jobs. I love doing what I do for 700 Club. And I'm also a primary caregiver for my elderly mom. So needless to say, I am not bored, ever. I'm never bored.
nothing wrong with that. I like the fact that you have such a varied life experience, because when you are approached by people who are looking for prayer, you can probably hit them at so many different avenues, you know, so
you
many different
right.
ways.
Mm-hmm. Amen. That's
I
right.
love that. I love that. I always wonder how our experiences, they build us as people, but I wonder if those experiences are to help others as well, because you said you're here to uplift, encourage Christians in their purpose for Christ. And that is one of the most foundational issues of what we are here to do, is that we all have a God-given purpose that only we can fulfill.
Yes.
And
Amen.
Learning what that is one of the most freeing and the most insightful aspects of who we are in Christ, which is why this topic of spiritual identity theft is really important. But before I get to there, because I know I want to titillate our listeners out there, I want you to talk about what your journey to faith looks like.
Well, I started out as a 10-year-old, and you know how you go to church, and they say, we are opening the doors of the church. So I went up to the front, and I joined the church, but I had no idea what that was about. And then a couple of years later, we had a new youth minister who came to the church, and he really explained the gospel to me in a way that I could understand. And I accepted Christ at 12 years old. But nobody discipled me for so long until I got into college. So I really didn't grow very much, because I didn't know I needed to read the word every day. I didn't know that I needed to, you know, prayer was a two-way street and God could speak to me. But when I got into college, I found a group of people who discipled me and helped me to understand all about how to grow in Christ. And that's when my relationship with God really took off. It took a while, but I thank God that it did take off at some point, and here I am today.
I love that example. I was thinking about when I first got baptized. I was 8 years old. I remember mm-hmm. being at the back of the church, and it had the wainscoting walls. It had red mm-hmm. Cushions, wood pews, and I remember I had on a green flowery dress, and I was cold, and it was towels around us. But I knew I was so happy. I said, I am baptized now. The Lord Jesus loves me. But I remember mm-hmm. when it became real for me when I was 16 years old. And over mm-hmm. time, the Lord constantly puts you at different levels in Him. Like, it doesn't just stay on milk. It stays on meat
right.
and goes further and further
right.
and further. And
right.
I know my listeners are so tired of this story, Tracy, but I always tell it, because it reaffirmed that He knows exactly who I am. And the story mm-hmm. is of when I was walking my dog back in 2019, I was walking my dog, and I was on a fitness goal, and I had walked mm-hmm. the furthest I had ever walked. Mm-hmm. So I was very proud of myself, like, yes. And so I went to turn around to go back home. And this lady said, I'm just going to let you know, there's like 3 loose pit bulls back there. And I said, excuse me? And she just came, all of a sudden came and just told me that. So I had to go even further than I thought, because I wasn't going to go walk back there. And my mm-hmm, dog is mm-hmm. not a guard dog, okay? She is a companion
right.
dog. She'll run
right.
before I would, okay? So mm-hmm. I'm walking. And I remember thinking, the Lord did not have to have that lady even tell me that. She could have just kept going, gone on about her business, and I could have got mauled to death by pit bull. I always thought about that, like, throughout everything that could have happened that day, that was one of the most prolific and wonderful, profound
right.
things that happened. I went home, I'm a crier, so I went home crying, thanking God that He
yes.
knew me. I won't say He remembered,
Amen.
But that He knew me. And so I
Amen.
Definitely understand where you're coming from. So that's why the Lord teaches us and makes us go deeper. And
yes.
that's why
Hallelujah.
I like what you said, how, you know, you got into the door, if you will. Got into the door. Now you're actually sitting at the table. Now you're actually eating with the king.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So,
Hallelujah. Amen. It's
deeper,
a progression.
Deeper,
it's
deeper.
A progression.
Yeah.
We grow. Praise God
Amen.
That we grow.
And He wants us to grow. We don't want
yeah.
our children to stay babies forever. No one wants to breastfeed their child for 10 years. No one wants to do that. No one.
That's
no
true.
One wants to do that. And so it brings me to my next question. And it's about your blog. Because I went through your blog. I was so incredibly inspired by the number of insightful things you were saying on your blog. And I'm like, wow, this is really stuff, which is, but when I saw the spiritual identity one, that really struck a chord with me. So tell us, what made you want to start your blog, and what's the history behind that?
Well, I wanted to start the blog because I guess it's really kind of for selfish reasons, because blogging is therapeutic for me. But I also, as I studied the word and I felt that God was sharing these nuggets with me, I felt like maybe somebody else might be able to benefit from this. And also, I knew as an author, when I started to want to become an author, that I needed to build a platform. So I said, okay, well, let me find out how to do this blog and then just try it. But really, you know, a lot of the things I blog about are things that God has shown me in. And when I get in my prayer closet and I'm journaling, and God shows me a lot of things through my journal, information from my journal, and I organize it and I put it in my blog. And when it's going into my blog, it makes me feel like it's just solidifying it in my own soul, what I've learned. It's just like cementing it in there. So really, I want to be able to bless other people, hoping other people might benefit, but also it's helping me to cement it into my own soul, what God has taught me. Because I believe that my goal is, my purpose is to edify and equip the saints. I feel like God has given me a teaching gift that I want to use for his glory. I give him praise for that. So I just decided to share what God was sharing with me, with the hopes that it will add value to other people. And, you know, and a lot of times these blogs that I'm producing is coming out of the vexation, I would say, of my soul. It's just like maybe I'm grappling with something. And then, you know, as I go through this journaling process, something comes out of it that sets me free or shuts down an avenue that the enemy is trying to get me, or fixes a chink in my armor, so to speak, or burns the ropes off, just like the Hebrew boys were in the fiery furnace. When I'm vexed and I'm having these issues, it's just like the ropes are being burned off. So that's what my goal is with the blog, to not only help myself, but I want to help other people to benefit and add value to others' lives.
I like the idea about, you know, the ropes burn off, because we do get caught by the enemy. I had a gentleman recently say on the show, we cannot be possessed by demonic entities, but we can be mm-hmm. oppressed by them.
Yeah.
And that's
yeah.
definitely true. And I think that mm-hmm. we need to take how serious that is. I was walking with
yeah.
a friend of mine. We had went to a author's conference in Las Vegas, you know, romantic times, you know, conference mm-hmm. in Las Vegas, and I had never been to a casino, you know. So when
right.
I was in the casino,
okay.
I wasn't dropping a dime, because I didn't have a dime to drop. But I grew up with a very mm-hmm. Strict upbringing about drinking, casino, things of that nature. So I was in there
right.
feeling like I was about to burn up, you know, not literally, but I'm in here. But we walked around, because I had never seen a casino. I walked around, and there's no windows in the casino. There's no windows.
Okay.
They do not want you to know that how long you've been in there. And I was thinking, like, wow, imagine you can be sitting here for hours because you can't look outside. You can be sitting here at the slot machine for hours on end. And I was watching one guy. I had went to go get something to eat, and he was at the slot machine standing still in that same position. We left about an hour later, and he was still mm-hmm. there, just that hand was just going. I was like, wow. I couldn't
wow.
imagine. Like I said, every dollar mm-hmm. I have, it's hard earned. So I'm not putting it in.
Yes, I understand that.
I'm not doing that. But I thought about that as you were talking about how you can get bound by it. You don't know that there's no windows mm-hmm. out there, and you're just bound by this thing that you're trying to achieve. And that goes a lot
mm-hmm.
with our talk today about spiritual identity theft. So I'm really glad
mm-hmm.
you mentioned that. And I love how you talk about your prayer journal. My sister, when she goes into her prayer closet, she gets on the floor and she talks to the Lord, and she tries
mm-hmm.
whatever's going on, she works through it. And you had mentioned about how your blog pieces come from the vexation of your soul. And that's being honest. One
mm-hmm.
thing I think in general that the church has failed at is allowing its members to be vulnerable. They always have
yeah.
to put on this facade of
mm-hmm.
spirituality,
mm-hmm.
if you will. Like if
right.
a pastor is having problems with his kids, he really can't say it because he's the shepherd. So the shepherd should have good kids acting right, right? Okay, and that's not always the case. You can give birth
right.
to Judas. Okay? I mean, not literally,
yeah.
but you can give birth to somebody crazy in your family. You can't help that. So I'm glad that you mentioned that. It was the sensation of your soul. even though I love the Lord, I still get vexed. I'm still going through trials, struggles,
yes,
and issues.
Absolutely.
And being
Amen.
Open about that is so important. It's so
yes.
important. And for those
Amen.
Of you listening in, we're talking to Tracy Moore. She's the author, poet, minister, teacher, and many other things as we talk about spiritual identity theft. We're going to talk about that on the other side of the break. If you want to weigh in on our topic, you know you can. All you got to do is call in at 646-668-8485, then press 1 to be live on air, or hit me on Twitter at Parker J. Cole, hashtag PJC Show, with your questions or comments. We'll be right back after these messages.
We'll be right back after these messages. Stay tuned.
Christian authors and writers, welcome to Readio. Readio app, developed exclusively for showcasing Christian fiction and nonfiction ebooks and audiobooks. Tired of book sales plummeting due to algorithm-influenced unrelated classifications? Books lost amongst non-Christian content? Readio allows you to reach your target audience, who's eager to devour your Most High God-inspired books in a variety of Christian subgenres. You write in a niche market. Readio solely caters to it. Follow at Readio App today on social media or visit readioapp.com to know when we are accepting author catalog uploads. Readio, the best app for the Most High influenced ebooks and audiobooks.
Hi, my name is Kevin Newsom, and I am the host of the Christian Arts and Entertainment Podcast. I am an author, musician, and worship pastor. On my podcast, we talk art and entertainment in all its forms: music, writing, movies, art, and more. Join us each week as we wrestle with two questions. What is the Christian artist's responsibility when creating art? And what is the Christian consumer's responsibility when consuming art? You'll find the Christian Arts and Entertainment Podcast on your favorite podcast platform and in full video on YouTube. Go to www.pressepic.com for more information. Be sure to subscribe on YouTube and in your podcast app, and I'll see you soon.
Engaging the culture's imagination through speculative fiction, The Untold Podcast produces audio fiction from a Christian worldview. Find us over at untoldpodcast.com, where we partner with authors to tell science fiction, fantasy, supernatural, and horror stories. Find links at untoldpodcast.com to subscribe via iTunes, Stitcher, and a variety of other platforms. Each month we produce high-quality audio fiction that's free to download and free to listen. Our submissions are open, and we're always looking to add another great story to over 24 hours of narrative entertainment. Find all of our audio fiction over at www.untoldpodcast.com.
We're back, and you're listening to The Parker J. Cole Show.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Parker J. Cole Show on WPJC 104.5. Again, so very glad you are here with me today. We are just having an insightful conversation with my guest co-host and contributor today, Tracy Moore. She is an author, poet, teacher, and many other things. And she's going to bring to our hearts and mind what it means to be a victim of spiritual identity theft. What are some things you can do to prevent yourself from spiritual identity theft? What exactly is spiritual identity theft? We're all familiar with identity theft, but when it comes to a spiritual realm, do we really know what that is? And Tracy, once again, thank you so much for being with us on the show to help unpack this topic and the other things that we're going to be talking about on your show, on the show today. So what I want to do is read a comment that we received. We received a comment from Marie in Canada, and Marie mm-hmm. says, I was the victim of identity theft to the tune of $5,600. They, wow. I guess the institution, wouldn't tell me who the perpetrator was after they caught her, but my friend at the bank did, telling me to be quiet about it or she would get fired for telling me it was an mm-hmm. undocumented immigrant. Mm-hmm. She says, watch your cards and accounts. And she says some other things. I can't read everything. I want you just to respond to that. But you can tell just from Marie's thoughts that it's very touchy. Because even when I would put show out there as I was promoting the show, Tracy, she put a little angry face on it. And she was so upset. And I knew why she put that angry face. And people would do that because she was a victim of identity theft. A family member close to mine, close to me, was also a victim of identity theft. They were putting DTE, which I'm in Detroit, they was putting DTE accounts in her name. And she said, I don't live here. You know, I don't live here. And she had like two of them on her name. And so she had to go through all of this rigor morale to prove that she wasn't living there. And even then, they didn't believe her. She said, I don't live here. Here's my license. Here's everything that shows where I live and not these two places. I can't be at two places at once. I cannot. And it's just such a evasive, demoralizing thing when you are a victim of identity theft. And just using the analogy of identity theft, how can we put that into the spiritual context of what spiritual identity theft is?
Yes, and I can understand her frustration. I was a victim of identity theft as well, and I'm so sorry that she even had to go through that. And I've even have seen other people go through where they just gave up and said, I'm just going to file bankruptcy because it's so crazy. But I used to be a financial counselor, and so I used to teach people about how to protect themselves from identity theft. So that is how I kind of made this spiritual parallel, because I like to use analogies when I teach. And if I figure if I can use an analogy that you have the ability to grasp in the natural, then it'll be easier to grasp in the spiritual. And then it's also memorable, because if I speak and I teach and you don't remember what I said when you left the building, then what good is it? I want to be able to package it in such a way that you can think of something in the natural and then hang the spiritual principles on it. So that's how I wanted it to be with spiritual identity theft. And so, first of all, we need to just think about what is our spiritual identity. When we receive Christ as our personal Savior, we receive a new identity. And what is that identity in Christ? It's what God says about us in His Word. He gives us the spiritual truths in the scriptures. So that means we don't define ourselves by the past. We don't define ourselves by what has happened to us or what people said about us, what environment we grew up in. We define ourselves by the truth of God's word. So identity, spiritual identity theft, in the same way people steal our natural identity, the enemy steals our spiritual identity by deceiving us into thinking that we're less than who God says we are, deceiving us out of what the Word of God says, and deceiving us into thinking about ourselves what He says about us. He's the accuser of the brethren. He's never going to tell us anything truthful. And the Bible says He's the father of lies. So spiritual identity theft is just a matter of the enemy tricking us into believing the things that He says about us versus what God says about us.
Will preach. And it reminds me of the song from, I can't remember who, I think it may have been D.H. Lawrence. His group sang it, or the D.L. Lawrence, one of them. His group sang it. And this, the lady says, you have to not believe the lies the devil told you. And sometimes we do. Sometimes we believe the lies that the devil tells us. Because the Bible said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And this whole concept can be a stumbling block for some people, because they may have had a painful past, a very sinful past. They may have made a bunch of mistakes. And we make mistakes even in Christ. So we're no different in that. But
Hallelujah.
He tells us, you can never be forgiven for X. You can never get past X. You can never be good enough for X. You can never be whatever for X. And we go, you know what? You are absolutely right. So now my next question is to you, Tracy. How does guilt bring an impact into the lies we believe about ourselves when we talk about spiritual identity theft?
Well, the enemy sometimes, now if we do something wrong, we're going to feel guilty, and we should feel guilty, because that will cause us to repent. And when we repent, then we can repair our relationship with God when we go to Him. But sometimes the enemy will put false guilt on us. Sometimes because of our past, because of the environment we grew up in, we have an overactive conscience, and we have guilt that we shouldn't have. And so the Lord, by Jesus dying on the cross, he has taken away the shame. He has penalty for our sin. And the word says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so we might become the righteousness of God. And so we need to remember that even if we have guilt that we should have, but we don't wallow in that guilt. And the enemy tries to make us wallow in it so that we feel like we can't do any better. And then he sends condemnation, and the guilt turns into condemnation. Guilt is designed to turn us around, to help us to call on the Lord and say, God, forgive me. But when it gets to be to the point where we wallow in it, that's turned into condemnation. And that's when the enemy has deceived us. And when he's deceived us, he has put lies in our head that don't line up with the word of God. And at that point, our identity has been stolen. If we cannot continue to hold on to what God says about us in the word, then that is when we have just been robbed. We experience identity theft when the devil deceives us out of what God has said about us.
You packed a wallop in that response, and I'm not sure where I want to go with it because there was just so much there. But let's talk about the guilt, because one time I was up late one night, Tracy, and I could not go to sleep. And sometimes your brain is just overactive. And then other times you're just beset
right.
by everything you ever did wrong in your life, no matter what
right.
happened,
yeah.
how it happened. When I was 12
yeah.
years old, I did this to somebody else. When I was 16, I did this. A couple of years ago, I said this. And just everything I ever did wrong, every mistake I ever made just converged
yeah.
on me. And I remember going, I'm a horrible person. You know, like, I'm horrible.
Yeah.
And I tend to put some of my thoughts on Facebook sometimes, not emotional garbage, but just, you know, when I'm feeling vulnerable, I may put
right.
it out there. And one young lady
right.
said, did you pray? Right? And I was like,
okay.
I should have, you know, like I should have prayed. But it was interesting how I just let that consume me. I let it
mm-hmm.
consume me. And I couldn't sleep for that whole night. And I think I finally just passed out from exhaustion. And I woke up, I felt much better. I thank the Lord for making me up again. And I said, you know what,
hallelujah.
He still has me here. Obviously, I'm still here. You know, obviously, you know how you start
yes.
to get back.
Hallelujah.
Did you pray?
Yes.
I'm going, really good idea.
But I can understand, and I've been in a situation where, you know, the enemy just bombards you with thoughts of accusations, and it's just like I call it a tsunami. And
mm-hmm.
I remember I was in a situation right before Christmas time where I felt like the enemy was just bombarding me with these thoughts and negative feelings, and I couldn't even get my footing. It's just like if you can imagine a wave just coming over you, and then you get knocked down, and you try to stagger back up, and then here comes another wave, and he just keeps pummeling. So I can identify with what you're saying with that, and I think we all go through that at times, and sometimes we need to call for prayer for backup. And but
mm-hmm.
it's difficult sometimes because the enemy, I think that's a tool that he uses, the tsunami of just keep pounding us and to wear us down and to not let us get our footing. But we can get our footing if we, like you said, prayer. That's
mm-hmm.
a good thing. Worship is another good
yes.
tool that we have to
mm-hmm.
confuse the enemy and cause him to back up. So,
mm-hmm.
but I can identify with what you're saying.
Amen.
Been there myself.
Now, I want to talk about the emotional part, because when you are a victim of identity theft in the natural, it is so violated. It is so
mm-hmm.
demoralizing, and you get
right.
exhausted. Like you said, some people have given up. So I'm just going to file for bankruptcy because I can't keep going through this. I know
right.
for there was a couple at one of my old churches. They were victims of identity theft, and they spent thousands of dollars over a 2-year period trying to prove that whatever the activity was wasn't
wow.
by them. Thank God they had it. He even said, we had it. We had the money mm-hmm. to do that, but most people don't. But they're able to clear
right.
themselves. And then I thought about mm-hmm. my good friend. She was a victim of identity theft when someone got a loan in her name, and the people called her and said, you know, we're going to do litigation. She said, litigation? You know, you know, she's
oh,
like,
my gosh.
Litigation.
Oh, my goodness.
And they said, well, you? She said, no, I did not. And so she had to do all this work to prove it wasn't her. And then they gave her a time limit, which makes you so angry because you've been giving whoever this fake person is money for a year, but only got 24
right.
hours to prove to you that you didn't give it to me.
Yeah.
So all these emotions just go over and above. And then, of course, you hear stories on the news, like one lady, she was arrested, and she said, what did I do? You know, she's like, I didn't do anything. You know, all these things, just the emotional ramifications. And as me being a person who's very emotional and emotive, emotions are part of reality, but they're not reality at the same time. They're not your full basis of reality, but they are part
That's
of
good.
It. You're very much affected by emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when
mm-hmm.
I get upset, like, you know, I'll just say it once in a while, every month or so, I get really emotional, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I get emotional.
Right.
And my poor husband, poor man, I'll, like, sometimes I'll take it out on him, and I know I shouldn't do that. I know I shouldn't
mm-hmm.
do that,
mm-hmm.
but he's
mm-hmm.
here. No one else is. You just got to deal with it. But
right.
I'm trying to do better about that because it's not his fault I'm having a hormone problem, right? It's just not his fault. So, but I know they're part of the whole shebang. They're part of our reality. So how do we take hold of our emotions during the time that we are aware that we are victims of spiritual identity theft?
Well, the biggest part is becoming aware. That's half the battle right there, to know that identity has been stolen and to know that the thoughts that we're having and the thoughts that we're believing, that they're not our thoughts. That's half the battle, because if we don't know that these thoughts are not our thoughts and we don't know that they're not coming from God and we don't recognize the origin from the enemy, then we're not going to fight against it. So we need to make sure that we recognize where it's coming from, and then we can fight from there. But the other thing is, in order to overcome the emotional part of it, because our emotions are birthed out of what we're thinking. The thoughts that we have is bringing these emotions. And the emotional ramifications when we have our identity stolen is that we have low self-esteem, we can get depressed, we get discouraged, we feel condemnation, we condemn ourselves, it's emotional pain. And to the extreme, sometimes when people have the identity stolen, that they have suicidal ideation. They have suicidal thoughts. So in order to battle against that, we need to recognize where the thoughts are coming from. And that's why it's so important to know the word of God like the back of our hand. We need to be able to have something in there for the Holy Spirit to bring up, because the Holy Spirit said he would bring the word to our remembrance. But we have to give him something to work with and make sure that we are putting a word in on a daily basis so that we will be able to have something to fight the enemy with, and that the Holy Spirit can bring that word up to come against and to push against the lies of the enemy with that truth. And that will change our emotional state.
I like that you said the Holy Spirit will bring back to you, but you've got to give him something to work with. It's got to be embedded in your heart. It's got to be there. I always think, and I've shared this before, my granny, she used to braid our hair, and she used to braid her hair every Saturday. We'd be sitting on the steps. We had that big thing of Vaseline, and she braided our hair. So we would recite John 14.
Mm-hmm.
That's how she taught us John 14. Let not your heart
Praise
be troubled. But you believe in God, believe also in me. And even to this day, I know it. Even to this day. Now,
Hallelujah.
Sometimes I get a little hairy on because I'm like, wait, did it say this? Or is that John 15? You know, and it's kind of like, you just
mm-hmm.
go back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember that for years. And one time I was having a moment or something, and I just started saying that scripture, the whole thing. And then I started
Praise
saying
God.
other scripture. And you got to give them something to work with. And then I want you to talk about worship, because you're the second person I've had on the show to talk about how you can affect battle with worship and why that dynamic of worship is so important when we're combating spiritual identity theft.
Yes, and this is something that I've found that when I have had, when I'm getting beaten up by the enemy and I'm having these thoughts, and it could be thoughts, temptation thoughts, or accusing me with condemnation thoughts, I found that if I can sing a song of worship, that it breaks that power of the enemy. I've seen it happen. I've been telling people about it, but I know this is what is done for me, that when I break out in song, it's something about singing that is really powerful, singing worship, not just saying, well, I praise you, Lord, I worship, but that coupled with music, to me, it seems like it's more powerful. And if you think about the fact that in 2 Chronicles 20, when Jehoshaphat had these three armies coming against Judah, and God gave them the instruction to put the praisers out in front, and then they were to do worship. They were singing worship songs, and the worship confused the enemy. And so that is what gained them the victory, because those three armies that were coming against them were able to be confused, and they started killing each other, and by that, the Israel won the battle. So I think it's just such a great tool, worship, singing worship songs. And just like if you have a situation where when I'm on the prayer line for 700 Club, many people call in with anxiety issues. And I've had anxiety issues. I've had meltdowns and panic attacks, but God has delivered me from it. But I have found that when I get in a situation where I feel anxiety is attacking me, if I can just start singing a praise and worship song, it seems to make that thing go away. Temptation thoughts, it seems to drive the enemy away. And I just want to share that, and maybe your hearers, your audience, they may have experienced the same thing too. But if you haven't, I dare you to try it, because I know it has been a blessing to find that out. I kind of stumbled on it, and I've been using it ever since, and I've been sharing it with people, even people who've had anxiety attacks and temptation in different areas, and I think it's very effective.
And we're talking to Tracy Moore. She is an author, blogger, poet, writer, and many more things. And she's telling us about spiritual identity theft. If you've really been blessed by this, I'm going to give you an opportunity where you can follow her online and get to know more about her on the other side of the break. We still have time to chat with you live if you want to call in at 646-668-8485 or hit me on Twitter at Parker J. Cole, PJC. Is the hashtag. We'll be right back after these messages.
We'll be right back after these messages. Stay tuned.
Have you read the latest issue of SOARMAG Digital, the award-winning literary magazine for multicultural readers and writers? SOARMAG Digital is available quarterly and showcases interviews with the best authors in multicultural literature. SOARMAG Digital features craft and business articles for those interested in writing. If you're looking for a good book, check out our book reviews on what's hot in multicultural literature. For writers looking for new readers to get in front of, SOARMAG Digital is the perfect place to introduce your book. We offer advertising spaces that fit your promotional budget. Get your free subscription on SOARMAG.com or order a print issue on MagCloud.com. If you would like more information about SOARMAG Digital, check us out on SOARMAG.com or contact us at SOARMAG@Yahoo.com. SOARMAG Digital is the magazine for multicultural readers and writers.
Authors, are you looking for a new way to get your book in the hands of new audience of targeted buyers? Then a virtual book tour is for you. Right now, virtual book tours is an excellent opportunity for you to introduce your book and who you are as an author. Launching your book is very important. A virtual book tour will connect you with readers. We at WNL, we specialize in book tours, book blasts, radio tours, cover reveals, and Facebook chat. Promoting and marketing your book is what we do. Online publicity, the exposure and the publicity is what you need. Let us help you reach new readers and a new audience. We take care of everything so you don't have to. We set up the tour for you. We connect you with bloggers to advertise your book by way of interviews, guest posts, and reviews. If you are an author of a newly published book, have an upcoming release, or just want to give a previously published book new life, a virtual book tour is your answer. Check our tours out at www.wnlbooktours.com. Visit me on Facebook. I am the owner, Paulette Harper.
How do fantasy and sci-fi help make us into better people? And how can Christians best glorify our Lord Jesus Christ as we enjoy these stories? Also, where can you find the best fantastical Christian novels? Yes, they do exist, and we know exactly where to find them.
From the creators of Lorehaven magazine and from biblical Christian storytellers around the world comes a new podcast for readers of amazing stories. We call it Fantastical Truth.
I'm E. Stephen Burnett.
And I'm Zachary Russell. Our mission is to find biblical truth in fantastic stories. We apply the wonders of these imaginary worlds to the real world our Creator has called us to serve.
Toward that chief end, we will find the best novels by Christian authors, fantasy, science fiction, and beyond. Together, we will explore these stories in light of the gospel, and we'll join these authors and other creative friends on this joyful journey to find the happiness and holiness of Jesus by exploring His gift of truthful imagination.
Please subscribe at lorehaven.com or on podcast players everywhere.
Join us in this eternal quest to seek and find fantastical truth.
The Speculative Fiction Cantina is your weekly hypodermic injection of science fiction, fantasy, horror, alternate history, and things weird and wonderful in the world of books and writers. You'll hear from writers who bend the rules and drive the narrative. We ask authors the hard questions. We do the show in our pajamas. Join S. Evan Townsend on this journey over the rainbow and through the looking glass. The Speculative Fiction Cantina on Rightstream Radio every Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern.
We're back, and you're listening to The Parker J. Cole Show.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Parker J. Cole Show on WPJC 104.5. Again, so glad you're here with me. I have been enjoying myself listening to Tracy as she has been giving us exhortation about spiritual identity theft, as she has helped us understand what it is, how it's really the devil telling you that you are not what God made you to be, that you can never be what God made you to be, that he uses our emotions to bind us about. And one thing that I'm glad she made a caveat on, she said, if we do something wrong, yeah, we should feel guilty, but that guilt is not meant to be compounded. It's meant to make us better. Like what another author recently said, God can fix broken vessels. He's not upset when we break in, when we're broken, because he mends us back together again, like the potter who does the clay. So I love that she said that. But she said spiritual identity theft is when we begin to believe the lies that Satan tells about our past, about the things we've done, everything else. Because Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. But Satan will tell you, you can't be X because you did this. You can't do it. And we start to believe it, and we're emotionally tied to that. And so the remedy that she gave us, the resources, the life lock, if you will, that she gave us is to be prayed up and know the word of God. Because as Christians, we are going to fall. We are going to fail. We are going to be attacked by the enemy. And some stuff is not just going to be because of the enemy. Some stuff we do on our own. But now we have the tools and resources to protect ourselves against identity theft. One thing she said that I really liked, she said, the Holy Spirit is going to bring things to our remembrance, but you got to give him something. You got to be in the Word. You got to know what the Word is. I've said this many times on the show. We have Bibles and we aren't reading them. Biblical illiteracy is up probably 4,000% but we don't have to stay there. We can change that dynamic. And Tracy, once again, thank you for joining me, talking about spiritual identity theft. And before we go, I want people to know more about the things that you write, because you also mentioned that you are a poet and an author. So tell us about the books that you currently have out there, and what is your new release coming out soon?
All righty. I have written a couple of poetry books. I call them poetic devotionals. And the first one was entitled Oasis for My Soul, Poems and Inspirational Writings for Spiritual and Personal Growth. And the second book was called The Exceptional Man, Love Poems and Inspirational Writings, Celebrating Godly Men in Great Relationships. And both of those books have the format of a devotional, where I write a poem, I give a devotional as far as the topic of the poem, my thoughts on the poem. Then I have some reflections and questions and a prayer at the end. So that is the format of that book. And my goal when I wrote Oasis for My Soul was to help people to get the benefit of journaling, because a lot of times I talk to people and they say, well, I don't know how to journal. I don't know what to journal. So I wrote Oasis for My Soul in a format that would help people to be able to journal about their thoughts and feelings, and that God will speak to them through their journaling. And another book that I've written, I just released this book in November, is called Keeping Christ in Christmas, Thought-Provoking Ideas for Making Jesus the Center of Your Child's Christmas Holiday, which I'm really excited about that book, because I'm really passionate about the message, because I'm just so tired of Jesus having to share the spotlight with everything else, everybody, on his birthday. Because when we have our birthday, we like to be the center of attention. We don't like to share the spotlight, but he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we expect him to share his spotlight with everybody on his birthday. And I want to address that in the body of Christ. And I know that what I'm saying in my book is not for people outside of the body. People who don't know Christ, don't care anything about Christ, they're going to continue to do what they do during the Christmas holidays. But I want to speak to the body of Christ and help parents to help their children keep Christ at the center while still maintaining the magic and the splendor and excitement of Christmas, but keeping Christ where he needs to be, and then providing that spiritual foundation for the children that can be helpful to them later on in their lives.
And sometimes the body of Christ needs to be reminded that it is all about him. And
yes,
right now in the Western church, you see this falling away of realizing that. At the same time, you also see individuals starting to go, I need to get back to the Lord. I need to get back
yes.
to Christ. I need to get away
yes.
from these other things where they may be important, but they're superseding what Christ is all about, what Christianity is all about, you know. And so I'm glad
Amen.
That you're putting that, speaking just directly to the body of Christ. You know, many people thought that the Christianity is based off of political agenda, whatever your political affiliation is, and it's not. Based off of Christ. If Jesus Christ did not rise from
mm-hmm.
the dead, it doesn't matter. Nothing else matters.
Yes,
the fact that we have a living
right.
God. Even Paul said, he was like, if he didn't rise from the dead, we are the most miserable of everybody. We're most
yes.
miserable, paraphrasing for 21st
Amen.
Century vernacular, but we are the most miserable. But thank God that he
mm-hmm.
did rise from the dead, that he is alive and
yes.
well and sits on the right hand of God, making intercession for us, talking to us,
yes.
disciplining us, chastising us, using the Holy Spirit
Praise
to bring
God.
Us into deeper relationship with him. So many
yes.
things that he's doing. And that's what spiritual identity is, knowing that we are loved by the King of Kings and the Lord of
yes.
Lords, that he knows my name. That song
that's
by Tasha
major.
Cobbs Leonard, that song, he talked about break every chain. That's what we want to
mm-hmm.
do, is break those chains that are binding us when we talk spiritual identity theft, because you can't feel as if you change. You can't
yes.
feel as if you are in stocks, as the medieval term is, or you know those pictures they show, the medieval torture where the guy's head is through the wooden
mm-hmm.
Aperture or whatever that is, apparatus,
right.
and
mm-hmm.
they're going to cut his head off, right? You know?
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
God forbid, we don't want to get a head cut off. But
praise the
all
Lord.
These things add to what spiritual identity theft does. God is calling us to remind us that we belong to him. We are kings
mm-hmm.
and queens. We are princesses
yes.
and princes, if you will. We are a royal priesthood. So many good things, not the liar, not the adulterer, not the drug addict, not the sex worker, that we are sons and daughters of the High King. And that's
and the righteousness of God.
That.
We are the righteousness of God in Christ. And we need to get to the point where that's so deeply rooted in us that nobody can shake it, they can't break it, they can't take it, that it's in there. And no matter what we go through and what happens to us, what people say about us, how we fail, we will still go back to the fact that Jesus rose from the dead and exchanged our sin for his righteousness, and nothing can change that, period.
Amen. Nothing. And that's powerful because we live in a world of equivocation, but nothing can change that. Nothing can change that. That is so much comfort in that. Tracy, I want to thank you, thank you, thank you so very much for being with me today. I really enjoy talking to you. Thank you for just letting me share your message with our listeners today. For those of you who want to follow Tracy online, simply go to tracylmoore.com. That's M-O-O-R-E, tracylmoore.com. All her information is there, her books, her blog, everything's there. Or you can follow her on Facebook at Facebook.com, Tracy L. Moore 2012. You can follow her there. In the few moments we have left, Tracy, what I would love for you to do, I'm going to mute myself, and I would love for you to pray for us. However the Lord leads you to pray for us, go ahead and pray for us today.
All righty. Let's go to the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we just praise your name. We give you the glory and the honor for who you are. We thank you for sending your son Jesus to the cross for us so that we could have life and have it more abundantly, and that he rose from the dead and that we have his righteousness and he took our sin. We are so grateful for that. And Lord, I'd like to just pray for those out there in the audience. If anybody is struggling with their identity in Christ and the enemy is trying to get them to define themselves and by their past and what they've been through, Lord, we're praying that you would touch them today in the name of Jesus. Lord, help them to know, God, that they are indeed the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, that they are deeply loved by you, Lord God, and that you accept them in your beloved Son, that you approve of them. They are blessed, not cursed. They are highly favored, infinitely valuable, and we're thanking you, Lord God, that you would let that sink in and be a healing balm to their souls. God, if they have soul wounds that have hurt them, the enemy has hurt them, that the enemy is working through, we're praying, God, that your resurrection power will flow into their souls and that you would heal them, because you said in your word you're close to the brokenhearted and you bind up their wounds. So we thank you, God, for restoring their identity. And Lord, we're praying, God, that they would not give up. We know that you change us from glory to glory incrementally, that even though if they seem like they feel like they're not moving quickly as they think they should, God, that they will be patient with themselves, patient with you, knowing, God, that if they do not give up, that they would see your glory and that they would see change in their lives. So we thank you and praise you, God, for restoring our identity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I just felt the power of that prayer go through my skin. It pimples my skin through these headphones, and it's all around my cheeks and going down my neck.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thing. I don't usually get that, but I felt that just go through it. I said, this is a prayer warrior. She is getting through past the enemy barriers, past the darts, past the anything, getting through to us. And if you weren't affected by that, you definitely let the Lord come into your heart to know what it is. Because who we are in Christ, we can go to him in prayer. We can go to him in prayer. Tracy, it has been just wonderful having you on the show today. And I cannot wait to have you back and have you back real soon.
Thank you so much for having me, Parker. I've enjoyed talking with you too, and I appreciate you, and you're doing a great work for the Lord, and may God bless you and continue to expand your reach. Hallelujah.
God will. Thank you so much, Tracy.
Thank you.
And we were talking today to Tracy L. Moore. She is a poet, author, speaker, prayer warrior, and so much more. You can go to her website, tracylmoore.com, and find out what she does. Was really inspired by her post about spiritual identity theft. I hope that you are inspired as well. I hope that you, if you're under the victimization of what the enemy is trying to do, that you take these nuggets of wisdom, that you take these resources resources and you apply them to your spiritual life, because you have to know that what God has made you is bigger and better than anything that the devil is going to lie to you about. One thing Tracy says, she said, it doesn't matter about your past, what you did. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Then she went even more about taking on his righteousness, taking on his glory, taking on his love, his mercy. You're taking on all of his stuff. And we can get rid of the other stuff that the Satan wants us to hold on to. There's so much more to the conversation. So make sure you visit her website, TracyElmore.com. She also has a couple of poetry devotionals. I've never heard of that before. So you know we're going to have her back to talk about that soon, because I think that's wonderful. And I can't wait to talk to her about that when I get off air. But I want to thank all of you so much for joining me on the show today. I do this because each week I want the Lord to bless you by the words that we talk about on this podcast. Thank you so much, and you have a wonderful, absolutely glorious, blessed day.